I don't know how many years on this earth I got left. I'm gonna get real weird with it.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
I think I would show my naked body if it was for a good reason.
What Tina reason? Goes,
what re- I know. I knew that question was coming and I can't think of one. Like charity, PETA or something like that, right? But no one's asking for my naked body. No one. No one's going, I'd really like to see Brian naked. You know what I'm saying?
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Grain. This is the Hogan of Mycena, Chris and Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Chris.
Best to you, Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. Thanks for joining us. Here we are, season number 6, rounding the corner into our 5th year of The Commercial Break, Chrissy.
That's incredible.
Why? Why is my life taking such
back.
A desperate turn? If you were writing a book, this would be the last chapter. The 5th year. How long can we continue is the question. It's like a marathon. How long can my feet continue to roll us along? I don't know. We'll figure it out as we jump into close to 700 episodes of this show. Can you believe
That's
that?
Insane.
It really is insane. This is the 675th episode, although on the RSS feed, you'll find this to be the 674th
That's
episode.
Right.
We were just talking about how I deleted one of the episodes. I don't even have a copy of that episode. Did you know that?
That's good.
Yeah, it's probably not necessary.
No.
No one asked for it. No one wants it. I always felt like, I mean, listen, when you have 675 episodes, it's unlikely that anyone would start at the first episode, I think. I don't know, because that's not how it presents itself inside of any application.
That's a lot to go back through.
There have been a couple of ladies, females, one of them a trucker, one of them a woman who worked on a factory floor, and they have written in and explained that they have gone back through every episode of The Commercial Break. So I know of at least two people who said they have gone through every episode of The Commercial Break because it kind of keeps them going. Like the trucker was like, it keeps me, you know, it keeps me occupied while I'm rolling down the road. And the factory floor lady was like, this job is miserable. So I just like listening to it while I'm on the factory floor. And I always thought to myself about the young lady who worked at the factory. Don't get your arms chopped off. You know what I'm saying?
That's
pay
true.
Attention to what
I
you're
mean,
doing.
I guess if I was going to go back and listen to a show that had as many episodes as we do, I would listen and then discover that I really liked it and I wanted to maybe then go back and start from the beginning.
Maybe.
I think the 300s might be.
I think you would start at like 500. 500. Because that's still 175
that's
hours
so
that you have to catch up with.
Yeah.
And no one wanted the first episode. Let's be real about it. No one wanted that first episode. I'm surprised we even made a second episode. We were doing it for fun. It was the pandemic and everyone was,
locked
down.
Starting a podcast.
Yeah, starting a podcast. Everyone was starting a podcast. Now I feel like for a while there, the amount of podcasts that were coming online slowed down.
Mm-hmm.
Now I feel like it's ramping back up
is.
Again because every celebrity needs a podcast and every podcast needs a celebrity. That's how it goes. Unfortunately, this one won't have a celebrity. Well, actually, I take that back. I am now officially the most famous Venezuelan you know.
That's right.
Just to put a point
we
on it.
We had a little viral moment.
Yeah,
there
on our break. Listen. Instagram has been a constant source of struggle for The Commercial Break. Any social media, really. Any video related anything for The Commercial Break has been a real sore spot for us since the day that we started this show. And therefore,
we ignored it.
Yeah, therefore, we decided not to do anything. It really has ebbed and flowed. We really have taken big breaks from posting anything on social media, maybe a month sometimes. So then, at the end of the year last year, we decided, okay, we got to get our shit together because every other human being knows how to do social media except for us. And every podcast is growing because they have social media that share, you know, that people discover them.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get in the game 6 years later. Let's get in the game. It's 2024. Facebook and MySpace has been around since 2004. Let's get in the game. So that's what we did. We got some video cameras and, you know, we hired an editing team and Christina's here with us in
the studio.
We did the studio and we have this video editor now and he goes through the episodes and he'll cut up clips for us. And he's really good at this. He's really been really talented at what he does, making us seem funny in otherwise not funny situations. So he cut up this clip from our New Year's Eve episode where you asked me, what do the Venezuelans do for New Year's Eve?
Do they have a ball drop?
Do they have a ball drop? And I said, no. Struggling for something to say, I said, no, they have democracy drop. Like, no democracy for you. This was then cut up in a certain way by our editor, and then we put it out there on New Year's Eve just as the episode was releasing, and it went fucking bananas in the Venezuelan community. Hundreds of thousands of likes, tens of thousands of shares.
Comments.
There's all Venezuelans are fighting with each other in the comments section of this particular reel, and it really surprised us. And here's why it surprised us. We have never had more than 1,000 views on any one of our reels. And to get hundreds of thousands of them in a short period of time was quite surprising.
It's exciting.
And it caused a lot of excitement around the house because Gustavo is here.
Yes, he is.
His fiance Ale is here. And Astrid, of course, is Venezuelan. So the most common comment, I think, has been, what is this, if it's a negative comment, has been, what does this guy know about Venezuelans? Like, fuck that guy, he doesn't know anything about Venezuelans. Yes, I do. I have lived with them for half of my life. My best friend is Venezuelan. Listen, my family disowned me a long time ago. I'm not exactly the best person in the world. I'm kind of a miserable sack.
You had to find a new country to affiliate yourself with.
I had to find another country. I had to find a country that's used to kicking people out to let back in. While everyone's trying to leave Venezuela, they're bringing me in. They're saying, that guy. Bring that guy in.
Yeah.
My best friend's Venezuelan, so I've known him for almost 30 years, you know, that Rafael. And their family kind of took me under the wing. So I have known Venezuelans and been around the Venezuelan culture for a long time. I'm not Venezuelan, and I don't claim to be Venezuelan, but I do know a thing or two about the culture. Because I've been mainly drunk at a lot of Venezuelan parties. When I'm drunk, I observe, and that's how it happened. Now I'm married to a Venezuelan. I have children who are at least partially have Venezuelan DNA in them. So I do know a thing or two about Venezuela. But yeah, I can understand why people might take the democracy drop thing. Like, there's not a lot of negative comments, but the comments were, you know, fuck that guy about the democracy drop thing. Listen, it's just, you know, I think Venezuelans, by and large, have a great sense of humor about this whole thing.
They do, yeah. No, they definitely are chiming in like, that's hilarious. It's true, but hopefully we're hoping for democracy.
Here's the crazy thing, Chrissy. Of all the things that we have said on this show, I mean, of all the things that we have said, it's this that gets the most attention, democracy drop. A not particularly funny throwaway line that Brian made.
You never know what's going to hit.
So,
also, who are we to talk in America?
Yeah. Honestly.
Things are bad.
That's the other thing. And I will respond. Like, Astrid and I and other people started responding to some of these comments because we were like, oh, okay, now it's got some traction. You have to, like, engage the people. And we wanted to talk to some of these people. After, like, the 1,500th comment, we were like, okay, we can't do this anymore. We can't respond to everybody. But honestly, a lot of people were like, what do you know? In America, democracy is about to drop, too. And you know what? I get it. Like, I totally understand where you're coming from. And that comment, I agree with. We're already headed in a great direction for 2025. Do you know what? I am feeling very grateful for anybody that's new listening to the show. I do love the Venezuelan culture. I do love Venezuela in general. And I'm hoping you get your democracy back just as soon as possible so that I can go down there and visit. I feel like it's a home away from home. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to go down there. I want to see what all the fuss is all about.
It's a beautiful country.
That's what I've been told, but can't visit. And maybe now I can never visit. Maybe now I'll never.
You're going to be on a list.
Oh, definitely on a list. That became a little bit of a panic at one point. Mm-hmm. Like, holy shit, are Chavistas going to see this? And are they going to put us on a list? Because people have been thrown in jail for much less down there. And people have been not allowed back in the country. Remember we had Joanna Hausman on the show?
Yes.
Joanna Hausman is a semi-famous, I guess, Venezuelan comedian, writer, actress, and she was on our show early in 2024, and we had a blast with her. And that's one of our other, like, one of our other reels that got some traction was with Joanna Hausman.
Mm-hmm,
the Venezuelans love our reels. Maybe we should just do a show about Venezuela. I mean, honestly.
I told Gustavo he needs to get in here.
Gustavo will come in here. Gustavo will be in before he leaves. So Joanna Hausman explained to us that she is actually would never step foot back in Venezuela right now under the current administration, under the Maduran administration, because her father was a famous, I think, journalist who had some things that were not so, you know, favorable toward the Maduran government. And now she has been thrown into kind of a bucket because of the things that she has said on her own social media about this, that she feels really like stressed out about the thought of going back to Venezuela. That's because she's concerned they would throw her in jail right away. So I think I just fucked myself as far as going to Venezuela is anytime
But hey,
soon.
We got a good social media.
But hey, I got thousands of likes, so that's all I give a shit about. It filled my empty cup. It filled my heart for 1 second. And then I realized that likes don't get you anything. They don't get you anywhere. Still not monetizing that Instagram. So go to Instagram and follow us at The Commercial Break. Speaking of empty vessels, did you hear that? And I just wanted to talk about this. Did you hear that Netflix has now, I mean, this happened a long time ago, but it started last night as we're recording this. Raw, WWE Raw is now exclusively on Netflix. Did you hear this? On Netflix and the WWE Network. The Monday Night Raw show that was on, I think, USA Network for a long time.
Yeah, it's been on forever because I used to work in cable advertising. And it's, I mean, definitely been on since 2000, I would say.
Yes. Well, I mean, I think Monday Night Raw has been on for a very long time. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not into the WWE. I can't claim to know a fucking thing about it. I was certainly a Hulkamaniac back in the day. But when you're 8 years old and guys in tights are throwing themselves around the ring all oiled up going, oh, what are you going to do when the Hulkamaniac comes down on you?
Well, it was entertainment.
It was entertainment.
But
yeah. Every young man, I think, and maybe some young women, wanted to be a professional wrestler back in the 80s when it was kind of cartoonish. And everybody loved it. That is my landscapers showing up right on time as we need desperately.
I understand now. I can't.
You can't.
I can't.
It's crazy.
Oh
these
my God.
Guys. And this is the new landscaping
company
that agreed not to do this between so and so and so and so here at the house. And what they're going to do pretty soon is they are going to blow this window off for the next 7 minutes. And we're going to be unable
welcome
to record anything.
Welcome to the new season.
Welcome to the new season of The Commercial Break. Just like, welcome to the new old shit that we got to get a studio, like an actual studio outside of this shack I call my house. I mean, honestly, this is crazy.
Yeah. And the other crazy part is it's like 17 degrees.
17
right
degrees.
Now.
There is not a, if there are any leaves on the ground, they're frozen to the grass. They're not doing anything. The grass ain't growing. What the fuck? What are you doing? You're mowing the ice? I mean, come on. What's going on out there? Ay, Dios mio. Well, we'll suffer through it as we always do.
Yeah.
Why? Because we busted our nut on the 12 days of TCB and have no more episodes
that's
to
right
share with
we're
you.
We're done.
We're contractually obligated to put out an episode tomorrow, and we will do so. Monday Night Raw now on Netflix. Quite the big deal. 3-hour show last night. 3-hour live show. Apparently went off without a hitch. You know, because
I think
Netflix,
they might have figured their stuff out.
Yeah, they had to have. I mean, honestly, I think it was because I said something. Quite frankly, I mean, I'd like to think it was because I said something.
You tweeted them or X'd them.
I put a reel out. They got 76 views.
That did it. That was the tipping point.
That was the tipping point.
Yes, it's Mr. Technician for Ted Sarandos.
This is Ted.
Ted, it's an emergency. I'm here looking at The Commercial Break's Instagram account. They have 17 followers, and you should see what he's talking about. He's destroyed us on the Tyson fight.
Get this fixed immediately.
Yes, sir, we're on it.
I want good reviews from The Commercial Break.
Look, it's the guy that's banned in Venezuela.
Yeah, look, the guy that's banned in Venezuela, the guy that can't go to Venezuela, is telling us how to run our billion-dollar business. Yes, Ted Sarandos finally got his shit together and decided we better fix this technical. But, you know, I don't know that as many people. WWE is so wildly popular. I mean, wildly
it is
popular.
It always has been.
And I think it's seeing probably, like, every dog's ass gets a little sunshine. And I think right now it's probably seeing this incredible popularity because the mood, the tone, and the texture of the country is right there with it, right?
Aggressive.
Aggressive, very male-focused, very, you know, the us guys, our balls are just a little bit bigger than they used to be.
Give me more tea!
I need more testosterone! It's me, Ted Sarandos. Put more testosterone in our streams. It's I don't say that, you know, listen, I'm making a joke, but it really is sometimes the moment meets the man, so to speak, or the man meets the moment. And that's where the WWE is right now. It's really seeing its day in the sun, except for Vince McMahon, who no longer can step. Actually, you know what? I think he's now the CEO of the company again, isn't he?
Wasn't there also a documentary on Netflix about him? How he was terrible?
The Vince McMahon. Yes. And this is the crazy part. This is what I wanted to point out. Well, first of all, celebrities of all kinds showed up to this WWE Netflix debut. Hulk Hogan showed up to the WWE Netflix debut. Hulk Hogan got booed at the WWE Netflix debut.
Why?
Yes, because he turned his appearance. First of all, he's 70 something years old. I don't want to be
can't
in.
Quite rip
yeah,
the shirt
I don't. Yes,
anymore.
I mean, did you see him at the yes. at the Republican National Convention? Yes. He struggled mightily to get that little T-shirt off of his chest. First of all, second of all, I'm not an ageist, but at 70 something years old, I think it's time to start wearing sleeves. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, just like be kind of act your age a little bit. I will always love the Hulk. I don't have to love his, you know, I don't have to love everything that he thinks or everything that he stands for, but I can love who he was when I was, like, I can love that memory of the Hulk.
Yes.
Listen, I don't agree with everything Michael Jackson did either, but I can agree that, you know, Billie Jean is a good song, like,
right.
for sure. I can compartmentalize in that way. But
well, that's what we have to do now.
I know. You absolutely do. Because everybody has to uncover every fucking thing about everybody and cancel them for any reason. Okay, I'm going to get off my high horse. Hulk comes out. He turns his 5-minute or 3-minute appearance at the Netflix Raw into a beer commercial for his shitty Bud Light ripoff beer.
What?
You know he's got a beer?
No.
It's called like the Great American Hulk beer or something like that. I'm sure it's flying off store shelves right now. Because, you know, hey man, can you run to the gas station and get me a 6-pack of the Great American Hulk beer? Hey, you want to come over and crack a Great American Hulk beer while watch Netflix? I mean, who's drinking this fucking shit? No one's drinking this fucking shit is the answer to that. So he comes and he turns it in to a commercial for his beer, and the fans were having none of it. They were having zero of it. They weren't playing. They booed him almost right out of the stadium. And that was kind of sad to see. Like, Hulk should just pack it in, I think, a little bit. He wants, like, be an executive at the company or something like that. You don't need to be out there shirtless, running around, doing beer commercials on Netflix. It's just beneath you. It really is. Didn't he win $200 million from...
beneath him in this situation?
Nah, I think he's pretty much proven that there's no beneath the Hulk.
Yeah.
Anyway, didn't he win $200 million and shut down one of those...
Gawkers.
Gawker. Mm-hmm. He won Gawker. He won a website for $200 million, and the guy's still out there hawking his shitty beer. I mean...
he had that show, that reality show on, too, for a while.
Oh, the reality show was good. I like that. Mm-hmm. You know, but I'm into shitty reality shows. So him, his daughter, his son. Anyway, the Netflix Raw debut. I wanted to say this. I'll make this point, and then we'll talk about it after the break. Didn't Netflix just put out a steaming hot pile of burn you up documentary about Vince McMahon?
Yes, that's what I was
like
saying.
A 7-part documentary
yes.
about what a shithead he was.
I have it on my watch list. I haven't watched it yet.
It is so good, by the way. Mm. So good. You don't have to be a wrestling fan in order to enjoy the Vince McMahon documentary. And like any documentary that really takes a look and explores the subject, there are many faces to Vince McMahon, not all of them bad, certainly not all of them good. But it's a fascinating look at like the P.T. Barnum of our day.
Yeah.
He really is the P.T. Barnum of our day. All right, I know we have to take a break, so let's do this. We'll take a break, and when we get back, we'll continue this conversation. And hopefully, our boys out here will have blown off the driveway by
the ice. De-iced.
Yeah, they've de-snowed my front yard. All right, we'll be back.
It's a new year and a new me, which means I'm bringing you the exact same information I always do. So follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and on TikTok at TCB Podcast. Do something new this year. Text us or call us and leave us a voicemail at 212-433-3TCB. And please go watch our YouTube videos at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. I mean, we put all of this effort into our studio, so just go take a gander. You're gonna love it. And finally, go to our website, tcbpodcast.com, if you can't be bothered with anything else, because everything we have is right there on that site. Bye.
New season, same smoke machine. All right, so.
You do love your smoke machine.
I do love my smoke machine. So, yeah, it's like, it seems like, can you Google this, Christina? Is Vince McMahon still a part of the WWE? Because I believe that he was kicked out of the WWE for some, because he was, some sexual harassment allegations. Number three. There
he,
you go.
Resigned, yes. As of January 26, 2024.
It's of January 26, 20. Okay, so he's back out. Yes. I think he was in, then he was out, then he was in, and now he's back out again.
Yeah.
But they put together this scathing documentary. I mean, it really was a scathing documentary about him. 7 parts, really fascinating to watch. And then Netflix then buys the rights to WWE Raw. Yeah. You got to give something to Ted Sarandos. Ted Sarandos, who's the guy who runs Netflix.
I think it's Sarandos.
Sarandos or Sarandos? Let's figure this out before.
Sarandos.
Sarandos? I was right. Look at me.
First time for everything.
There is a first time for everything. I have to tell you something. This, while we're on this, I'll just like
he
take
and
a little.
Chelsea Handler dated for a while.
They did?
Mm-hmm.
They did?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I like the balls on that Chelsea Handler. I just got to say that. They hang low and they swing long.
Mm-hmm.
During the break, we put out a episode with our new friend, Poppy Liu.
Yes.
Okay. So I put this episode out, and I kept calling her Poppy Liao, which is not correct, because that would be our friend. There was another young lady that we had on. Remember that comedian who had the last name Liao?
Yes.
I kept saying Liao.
Leslie.
What's that? Leslie
Liao. Leslie Liao.
And who also works at Netflix, just to let you know, to oddly
well,
bring it back around.
To,
she
right,
used to work
yeah.
at Netflix. So I have to apologize to Poppy. I fixed it. I went and I fixed it. But I kept calling her Liao. It's Liu. Okay. So they put together this documentary, and then they bring in the rights. They pay billions of dollars for the rights to this WWE. You got to give it to Ted, because Ted does not give a shit. The money is green. He doesn't care what color it is.
Yeah.
He puts out anything. Part of me likes that approach. I like the approach that let the viewer figure out what they like and what they don't like. You know, it's not up to us to activate or have activism. And then part of me goes, it seems a little weird that when I turn on my Netflix last night, watch WWE Raw, would you like to continue watching the Vince McMahon documentary about how shitty the guy who started Monday Night Raw is? It's fascinating.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a contradiction.
Definitely a contradiction. But
yeah.
All the celebrities, you know, a lot of celebrities showed up last night. Travis Scott was there. Like I said, Hulk Hogan was there. John Cena was there. The Rock was there. Lots of actors and actresses showed up for the big LA debut. Jeremy Piven was there. Uh-huh. Jeremy Piven, who may make a future appearance here at the show. Remember Jeremy Piven?
Of course.
He was in that show. What was that show? It was really good.
Entourage.
Did you watch Entourage?
I did. I loved it.
Were you
in
Entourage? Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Didn't they like...
He was also in Seinfeld.
What? Yeah, he played George...
He was the
dentist. He was the dentist, but then I read that he played George Costanza.
Oh, no, he wasn't the dentist. That was Bryan Cranston.
Bryan Cranston was the dentist.
Yes. Yeah, but he played... Jeremy Piven played another role.
Yeah.
He was also in Serendipity. That's all I know him from.
Serendipity is such a great movie.
It is a good
and
movie.
And isn't that like the third time him and John Cusack were in a movie together? I think it was. They seem to have a bromance. Those two love each other. Anyway, so a lot of celebrities showed up last night. WWE is hot. It's hot, Chrissy. Would you show up to the... Would you want
to
go...
I've been to a WWE
no.
match. I have backlights. Like I said, I used to sell cable advertising, and we got some free tickets. And just as a joke, a bunch of us from the office went. We made signs, held them up, and
you are
totally
kidding me.
Got into it.
I never
and
would
that
have...
was it.
Okay, so tell me about the whole experience.
Yeah, I mean, it was in like an arena, and they had the what do you call that?
Ring.
The ring.
The ring.
And they wrestled. I don't know. It was a big show. It was funny. I thought we were like just laughing about it.
Did it seem real when you were watching it?
No, I mean, I guess there are some real things about it, but yeah, they make it look worse than it is.
Yeah, I mean, on TV, I think they got the angles and the cameras and it's, you know, it's big and it's blown up. But I've never been to an actual wrestling event live. So I'm, and listen, I do think there is certainly athleticism that goes on in that sport.
Mm-hmm.
And to say that these guys don't actually hurt themselves or aren't getting hurt is complete bullshit. Because you can't throw yourself, even on a bouncy mat, you can't throw yourself from 10 feet over and over again and not be in pain, have to have some strength. I mean, these guys flip each other over. It's crazy. They're great athletes. There's no doubt about that. And the storylines are entertaining. So I think what they have done is kind of taken that gladiator mentality that has been around for so long and brought it to the 21st century with a little bit of P.T. Barnum and Bailey kind of circus atmosphere and whatever is hot in that moment. You know, there was over the years that they have transformed themselves to meet the culture where it's at. And I think that is what the WWE has done so very well. And they have billion fans around the world. It's such a hot property that you can understand why Netflix would want to be a part of it. Netflix is just gobbling up everything, aren't they?
They've got the money. They're the only ones that are like they really making money, which I thought about a few days ago. I was like, the reason I think why they're the ones that are really making money is because they're still the only ones that are doing where you they release all the episodes at once. So that quickly gets people through all of their stuff.
So this is a great conversation. So let's this is a great place for this conversation to go. There is television is struggling mightily. The cable channels, the carriers, the carriage fees that they get are shrinking. And people are watching less and less actual live television. Everybody wants to see it now. Everybody wants it to drop at one time. Everybody wants to binge watch. It's something that Netflix pioneered, and now it's something that everybody expects, right? We're all used to, if I can see one episode and I like it, I have to see the next episode, the next episode. A lot of these streaming platforms are now rolling back that, with the exception of Netflix, and I think they have done this a few times, but not often. With the exception of Netflix, most streaming platforms are now releasing on a weekly basis, again, some of their hit properties.
Hulu does it a little bit with some.
Hulu, Disney, HBO Plus, Max Minus, whatever the fuck they're calling that these days, all, and even Amazon. They release on a schedule because they realize that that keeps people coming back week after week. And when you come back, you are likely to look for other shows that you want to watch. Let's say that you love, I don't know, whatever Amazon's brand new Prime hit is, and you watch it all in one sitting, you're not taking a break to look for anything else. You're sitting there for 7 hours and watching this or that or the other thing. When you release one episode a week, you watch that 1 hour, and then you
then
watch
you
other things,
else.
Then you turn to something else. Cable and live television was really good at kind of keeping people on the hook and pulling them through, which then allowed advertisers
appointment viewing.
The appointment viewing, right? When we were in radio, they would say to me, not really to me, to the other, I mean, I wasn't really ever on the radio. They would say, you got to leave them with a hook, right? After the break, we'll say this. After the break, we'll say that. I try that here on the show, but people just don't listen anyway, whatever. But you leave them with a hook so you can pull them through the commercial break because that's really what people need to see. And so by leaving a cliffhanger on every episode and then waiting another week to watch it, you would then get engaged with other content that was on that television station or cable TV in general. Now, a lot of these streamers are going back to that because they realize that that is a winning method for keeping people on the platform. And when you drop all of the episodes at one time, you get bursts of watching, and then people leave to the next platform to go watch the next hit show. Netflix has generally stayed with that, let's just do the binge watching thing altogether. But now they are getting into live television. Live television will be appointment viewing. So
Sports and news, right? Appointment viewing.
Sports and news, appointment viewing. They have tried late night television. They have done comedy specials live, like the Joe Rogan thing, Chris Rock. They have done those type of things. And I think we will see increasingly more live television on Netflix, on Amazon. Like Amazon now is doing live television also. You know, they did the New Year's Eve thing. They did, I don't know, now they have playoff football on Amazon Prime.
Sports.
They have Thursday night football on Amazon Prime. Sports. They have football, soccer, you know, football in Christina's country. So I think I think if I have to like sum this up, they broke something that wasn't broken, and now they're fixing it by making it the way that it was. And it seems really strange to me. I know I'm going to sound like an old man when I say this, but I just think that cable TV in general sometimes was better. With a DVR, cable TV sometimes was better. I'd like it that way. I do like binge watching stuff, and I love the ability to have everything under the sun. But now, you know, television stations and in general streamers are making less and less good television, and they're making less and less of it. Now you only get two seasons of something. That's it. And then they go away. Yeah, you don't want to know why? Because there's no way to economically, to make it economically viable to have season 3, 4, 5, or 6. If someone comes to the platform and they're paying their fees, they don't give a shit. Two good seasons and then you're out. That's it. It's like the BB fucking C, and I hate that about the BB fucking C. They only make 3 seasons of anything. Fuck that!
You love your BritBox.
I do love my BritBox. Astrid hates it because we have to pay for it every month, but I love it. I keep fighting for BritBox. Every month we have the same conversation. BritBox is fine. Yes! I will!
My mom literally got that for Christmas.
BritBox?
Nice. Yeah, it was her Christmas present. So cute.
It is so good. Do you watch British television?
Yeah. But, yeah. Well, the thing is, like, my grandma is always recommending shows to my mom. Mm-hmm. Like, they're always trading show recommendations. So half the time she can't watch them because they're not on TV here.
Yeah.
So BritBox it is.
And there's something really frustrating about Amazon. While I love Amazon Prime and I think they have a lot of great shows and they allow me to watch all those British comedies, there is something frustrating going on with Amazon. And that is there are so many connections that you have to make in order to watch certain shows. And they're really good at sucking you into that bullshit. Like, there's a show called The Inbetweeners. Do you know who the Inbetweeners? Mm-hmm. It's like a popular, like, you know, it's like made for teenagers. It's dick jokes and about kids in high school. But I like it because I'm a kid in high school. Yes. So there's this Inbetweeners show. But I have to have a certain subscription to watch it. And then I want to watch, what was the other show that I was watching? I was watching Peep Show, which is another British television show that I love. So I can watch Inbetweeners without ads, but then I have to watch Peep Show with ads. And there's no way for me to take the ads off on Amazon. So they've connected this freebie to Amazon, and now I have to watch ads. How am I paying $75,000 a year to Amazon Prime, and I still have to watch ads? How does that make sense? How is that fair?
I thought they were discontinuing freebie, but maybe I just heard that.
Amazon bought it. Mm. Amazon bought freebie, okay. So now just sucked it up. So now you can't get freebie free anymore. You got to watch ads. It's in the name! Freebie!
I just tuned to the next show. There's so much. I can't keep up.
That's the difference between you and I. If I really like a show, I'm hunting it down. Uh-huh. I'm looking for. What are you watching now?
Everything. Let's see. Landman on Paramount Plus. I just binged quite a few things on Netflix. Let's see. Peacock's got all of my Housewives stuff.
Okay, be specific. What are the shows that you were watching? Like, what do you binge watch a bunch of stuff on Netflix. What did you binge watch?
Let's see. What did I watch? I watched Missing You, and that had like 5 episodes. And then what was the other one? We did The Diplomat, and then there was something else. I'll look at my thing.
You know, The Diplomat. Let's talk about The Diplomat for a second.
I love The Diplomat.
I love Keri Russell. I think she is so incredibly beautiful and talented. And I think she's an executive producer on that show. She was so good in The Americans. The Americans is one of the best television shows of the 2000s, hands down. But something about The Diplomat, even though I watched most of it, something about The Diplomat got a little slow for me. It felt like we were just kind of like walking in mud a little bit. Well, I watched the end of season one, but I haven't watched the end of season two.
Oh, just wait.
Oh, the end of season two is good?
Yeah.
And I kind of stopped. I was like, all right, are we going
to
talk?
Get back to it. Jump back in there.
Oh, really? And then I felt like we were stuck in the house a lot. You know what I'm saying? You know, sometimes when television shows are in one place, you feel like you're stuck in the house. And I felt like I was stuck in the house. I wanted to get out. I wanted to take a walk.
There's
I wanted to go
twist.
Somewhere else. There's a big twist. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, all the shows have a big twist. Say Nothing is a show that you should watch. Mm. Say Nothing about the Irish Troubles. You know the Irish Troubles?
No.
In the 80s and 70s, 80s, 60s, 70s, 80s.
I saw an ad for this. It looks incredible.
Christina, you have to watch Say Nothing. It is so
what is it on?
Good. It's on Amazon.
Okay.
It's on Hulu. Excuse me. It's on Hulu, Disney Plus and Hulu. Say Nothing is one of the best television shows I have seen in a long time. It is so beautifully acted. It is such a, like, I guess for me, I'm of Irish descent.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know the first thing about Ireland. I mean, I know a little bit about Ireland, enough to be dangerous. I know where it's located on a map. Basically, I can point to it. But I don't know a ton about my own heritage. And the Troubles are something that I grew up with, right? The Irish Troubles, the IRA, the, you know, the Irish trying to break away from the British, essentially, the Catholics and the Protestants, you know, this ongoing war that decimated the country for decades and decades. Mm-hmm. Irish people blowing up Irish people, fighting Irish people, killing Irish people, activism, protesting, all this stuff that went on. It made daily news when I was a kid, and it just stopped very recently. This show is about one of the only female, what they call executives in the IRA, one of the female managers of the IRA. And it is so fucking delicious. Every episode, beautifully constructed, well acted. The script keeps popping. You just keep going. And here's the best part about it all. It's true. Every bit of it is, I mean, not every bit of it, but most of it right. is true. It's based on a true story. It's historically generally accurate. And I found it fascinating. And I think part of the reason why is because I don't know fucking shit about Ireland. And then I felt like I knew something about Ireland after I watched the show. I felt like I was doing a history project. You know what I'm saying?
That's good.
I felt like I was doing research and I was really into it.
I
feel more Irish today than I did before I saw Sane.
Isn't Ireland where you first saw the sex show? That we love from Britain.
Ireland is where I saw Dating Naked.
Dating Naked.
Yes. Naked Attraction.
Naked Attraction. I'm sorry.
You
Naked
always
attraction.
Call it Dating Naked.
I know. I'm sorry. Naked Dating Naked is a VH1 attraction. Show that's nowhere near as good as Naked Attraction. By the way, I thought to myself, we have to do another one of those episodes.
Oh my God, they're so bananas.
They're so hard to find on YouTube. They are so bananas, literally, including the bananas.
They're on HBO. Yes. They're on Max.
Yeah, I know, but for our purposes, I tried to find an episode that we could use. And that doesn't mean that we will be able to air it on YouTube because it's highly graphic, but something that we could talk about here. And I guess we could play it through HBO Max here on the television. But I was trying to find this on YouTube. So I found a couple of random parts of episodes on YouTube. And I say this because I was watching this over the break. And I got to tell you, I mean, that show lets it literally all hang out.
Oh, my God. It's insane.
It is highly graphic.
Yeah.
It literally.
But it's like clinical.
Yeah.
Yet also sexual, flirty. And I don't know.
There's I don't just know.
This weird mix of things I've yes. never seen all at once before.
It's really strange. We should do the. Okay. All right. I'm changing my mind. We'll do one of these episodes. Maybe soon. Because. They have like the nut cam. You know what I'm saying? Like
they
that camera
do.
Gets right up in the testicles and it's showing. And then the lady's talking about how, you see how one testicle hangs down a little bit lower than the other. Do you like that?
People got things yeah. pierced. I mean, there's tattoos. It's everything. Men, women, trans, everything.
And here's what I like about the show in general. These are not supermodels that are on this show.
No.
There are certainly beautiful bodies. But it's like regular,
yeah,
average human beings. This is not, you know, Playboy After Dark. This is really just average people, big, short, tall, small, large.
That want to be naked on
the
TV
show. That want to be naked on television.
I mean, they're normal.
That's the part that gets me every time, is that these fucking people have to go back to their hometowns.
Like some people, you know, when they get dismissed or whatever, they go and then they interview them separately, just standing there naked. And then the people are like, yeah, I'll just go back to my teaching job.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. You're on Naked Attraction on Tuesday, and then on Thursday you're at the local grocer, and somebody, this old man comes up to you and says, "So you're not so dating Naked Attraction? Beautiful testicles. I mean, it must be worse for the women, you know? You got a beautiful pussy, you do."
It's crazy.
How do you do that? Who volunteers? Would you volunteer to be on this show?
Hell no.
Fuck no. And I think that's a big difference probably between us and Ireland or, you know, the United Kingdom or whatever, is that we have such shame around our bodies and being naked that, I mean, maybe not anymore in 2025 as we did back in, you know, when I was a kid. But the reality is these people are like not only naked. It's not like they just took like a beautiful nude portrait and showed it. The cameras are up your lips. I mean, it's insanely intense, and I can't believe it's on television.
I know.
It's crazy.
We have to watch it.
We have to watch it. Better yet, we should do our version of this here on the commercial break.
You go first.
I think I would show my naked body if it was for a good reason. What? Tina goes, what? I know. I knew that question was coming and I can't think of one. Like charity. PETA or something like that, right? But no one's asking for my naked body. No one. No one's going, I'd really like to see Brian naked. You know what I'm saying? But you then again, on Naked Attraction, I think some of those people, no one's going to see them naked either. But everybody is different and everybody is beautiful in its own way. And
somebody's out there for somebody, for everybody. Yeah.
Well, thank God for Astrid. She's decided not to look at my body. She says, if I just keep eye contact, I could probably get through it. If I just think of, you know, Colin Farrell, I could probably get through it. Well, she wanted a blue-eyed boy. She got a blue-eyed boy. Just stare at my eyes. Don't look at my balls. They're kind of weird. I'm getting to that age where they're kind of weird. All right, more talk about my balls when we get back.
Did you know that we have a phone number? Well, we do. And you should call us. Nobody's going to answer, but you can leave a voicemail for us that we may or may not play on the show. And if that's not the vibe, then just send us a text, okay? Our number is 212-433-3TCB. So get texting and give us something to talk about. Please. We need it. While you're doing that, you can also follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and on TikTok at TCB Podcast. And as always, check out our website, tcbpodcast.com, for all of our audio and video content. Speaking of video, we are also posting full video episodes at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. So go watch them, please. Anyway, now let's hear from our sponsors and get back to the good stuff.
All right, thinking. Speaking of great television, did you watch the Golden Globes?
I did. For the first time in a long time.
Yeah, I have not paid attention to the Golden Globe. I haven't paid attention to award shows in general. And Astrid keeps poking me, like, you got to watch the award shows and talk about them on the show because, you know, a lot of people watch them and they like to hear, or they haven't watched them and they like to hear who won. I watched some of the Golden Globes and, you know, I give a B to Nikki Glaser. I thought she did a okay job.
Better than Joe Coy last year, so.
Well, Joe Coy had... I don't know why Joe Coy did the Golden Globes. And Astrid goes, why is Nikki Glaser doing the Golden Globes? Like, isn't that usually like some kind of celeb? Like, I don't mean to like knock Nikki Glaser. When did she get so famous that she's doing the Golden Globes? And the thing is, since Joe Coy, or since really for the last 4 years, no one wants to do award shows. They're thankless gigs. You don't get paid anything. You got to rehearse for years. You have to really be on point. And if you say one fucking thing that tickles someone the wrong way, you're going...
She did a great job,
You're doing a shit tour. I thought she did a good job.
Did you see that she read all of her jokes that she didn't feel like she could do at the Golden Globes on Stern?
She read them all on Stern?
Yeah, and she said that she keeps all of her jokes, all of her like jokes that are a little too far in a Stern file.
Nice.
It was cute.
Well, and so Astrid asked me the question, how did she get so famous that she's not doing the Golden Globes? And I said, Stern. I go, she's been on Stern forever.
Fuckboy Island.
Fuckboy Island, too. That was good.
And she did the roasting of Tom Brady, I guess.
Yeah, she's done a lot of high-profile things.
And then she has her special, which was really blew up.
And also, she's on Stern, I'd say twice a year at least. And I, you know, for like Stern, don't like Stern, whatever, I think he still is kind of a market maker in some ways. Like if you appear on Stern a number of times, your profile is certainly going to raise. That's why, Howard, I'm offering myself up for a conversation with you. It's time.
You'll finally show your naked body.
Yes. I don't know if you knew this, but I am the most famous Venezuelan you will ever have on the show. Besides Edgar Ramirez. So I thought Nikki did a pretty good job.
Yeah.
I think she did a good job of like, dancing in between that line, but between getting canceled and not getting canceled.
Yes.
And then I don't really remember for me, this Golden Globes was not particularly like memorable. I don't remember anything. Demi Moore won her first acting award at all. Is that right?
Yep.
Demi Moore, and she's been in some pretty good movies: Striptease, G.I. Jane,
tons of stuff. Indecent Proposal.
Indecent Proposal.
I mean, what was the St. Elmo's Fire?
St. Elmo's Fire.
I mean, that started it off. But she's been in stuff decade after decade.
Wow, Chrissy, you really dated yourself with St. Elmo's Fire.
I love that movie. It was before my time, but I love that movie.
Was that movie made like 82 or 83?
Yeah.
Okay.
85.
85. St. Elmo. Okay, so let's go through the top, the just the top of the top. So actress, in a musical or comedy motion picture, Demi Moore, mm-hmm. for The Substance. Is that a comedy?
Well, I had a problem with, because I've seen The Substance and I loved it, but it's definitely not a musical or a comedy. Yeah. I mean, it's satirical, ironic, that kind of thing. But as far as like a comedy, no.
I saw the trailers
for it. /sci-fi on Google when you pull up the movie.
It's not a comedy or definitely not a musical. It's so weird.
That's really weird. Yeah. I found that to be strange that she was in that category. Yeah. Anyway, drama motion picture. The winner was The Brutalist with Adrian Brody.
That
won
a lot. I want to see that now. Apparently it's like 3.5 hours though.
Yeah, all the movies are now so long because I think, here's the other thing that I think Netflix has done for movies. Netflix can take so much time to play out a story.
Yes.
That when you
Six,
go
seven,
to-
7, 8 hours.
That's right. So when you go to a movie and it's 1 hour and 15 minutes long, you don't feel like you've really been involved in the characters. And I think that's why some of these movies are getting so long. Avatar, Wicked. I mean, James Cameron just doesn't know how to fucking cut a movie down to 1 hour. How long was the Titanic? 6 hours? Was the Titanic no. 6 hours long? No. So long. Okay, so The Brutalist won for Best Motion Picture, A Complete Unknown, Conclave,
that
Nickel
was
Boys.
Good. I saw that during the break, by the way.
I want to watch.
Yeah.
A Complete Unknown? Mm-hmm. It was good?
Yeah,
you liked it?
It's really good.
Okay, good. I want to watch that. Dune Part 2 was also in the mix. Sha-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Didn't he sing all his own songs in that movie, too?
I think so, yeah. He did a great job.
Good for him. Actress in a drama motion picture. Ferdinanda Torres for I'm Still Here.
Yep.
I don't even know what that movie is. She was up against Angelina Jolie, Tilda Swinton, Kate Winslet, Nicole Kidman, Pamela Anderson. I would like to see Pamela win, if just for anything, because I like Pamela Anderson.
Have you seen the movie?
No, but I'd like to. Have you seen it?
No.
No? The Last Showgirl?
Uh-uh.
Let's be honest. I don't think anybody's really seen that movie. But everybody likes Pam Anderson, so yes. I want her to win.
We're rooting for her.
We're rooting for her. I may not see the movie, but I'm still rooting for her. Actor in a drama motion picture, Adrian Brody for The Brutalist, up against Ralph Fiennes, Sebastian Stan, Daniel Craig, Timothy Chalamet.
Did you?
Not seen that, but that's on my list of things to see.
It's really good.
The Carol Burnett Award, whatever that is. Ted Danson won that. Cecil B. DeMille Award was Viola Davis. The musical or comedy motion picture went to Amelia Perez was the winner.
That.
What is that movie about?
Amelia Perez.
Does anybody know?
Wasn't it Selena Gomez playing her?
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
Yes.
So we know that Selena Gomez was in the movie. We're really informed on all these movies.
Now, based on this, I have a list now of things I want to watch.
Honestly, I haven't seen a single one of these this year. Normally, I feel like I'm better, but
yeah, normally I feel like I knock out a couple of these, but the only ones that I've really seen are... The only one I've actually seen is Wicked. That's the only, that's the only one that I saw. What's that?
And WWE Raw.
Oh, I didn't watch it. I just read about it. You think I watched that? You think I sat here and watched it? No.
Oh.
I said I saw bits and pieces of it on social media. I was busy with 90 Day the Other Way, Last Resort, or whatever the fuck was going on. My 600-pound life. I don't know. There's a brand new episode. There's a brand new season of My 600-pound Life. So Dr. Now is going to take lots of my time this year. musical, comedy, or motion picture. Okay, that was Emily Purse. I cannot believe that... for a musical or comedy, that Wicked did not win, but okay. Cinematic and box office achievement, Wicked did win, and that was against Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. I didn't know Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice did that well.
Well, I saw that recently, and I have to say I was kind of disappointed.
I mean, have zero interest in Beetlejuice or Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
Oh, I liked the original.
You did?
Yeah, Michael Keaton does a great job in it. It's just the story itself kind of falls flat.
Yeah, I don't know. It's another one of these.
Winona Ryder's good in it, too.
It's another one of these that I don't know who's asking for it. Who was asking for Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice? But anyway, okay. Inside Out 2, I just want to share with you that there's a number of people in my household that have seen it. I have not. And apparently, they loved it more than the first one.
Okay.
They said it's really, really good. I also want to see The Wild Robot, which was nominated too. Drama television series, Shogun. And I think this is I think this is a deserved win by Shogun. Even though The Diplomat was up. Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Slow Horses, I thought, was great.
Oh, that's such a great show. Talking about British.
Yes. Slow Horses is a fantastic show on Apple TV.
Apple. Mm-hmm.
I imagine next year we'll see Severance season 2.
Oh no, it's definitely happening. I can't wait for that too.
Oh, we're talking about them on the show now. Yeah. Just to let you know. Severance the podcast is on our Odyssey network. Oh. You can go to the that's why we're talking about them on the show. You can you can go to the Odyssey app, download it for free, and hear the Severance podcast, which is a rewatch companion podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott. Okay, supporting actress in a motion picture, Zoe Saldana for Amelia Perez.
Yeah, she's so good.
Actor in a musical or comedy was Sebastian Stan for A Different Man. I do want to see that.
I want to see that too.
The guy who gets
list.
Elephantitis.
Well, he has it, and then I guess he gets a surgery that corrects it.
And then his life changes in a way he didn't want.
Yeah,
okay. Can't wait to see that. Director of a motion picture goes to Brady Corbet for The Brutalist. Foreign language film, Amelia Perez. I mean, this one won a lot of awards. Mm-hmm. Animated feature film was Flow, to which all of us who were in the room at the time watching this were like, what the fuck is Flow?
It's a movie
about a cat, I guess. I don't know. But it was up against other films that we had seen that we thought were winning. Original score goes to El Mal. Supporting actor in a motion picture goes to Kieran Culkin for A Real Pain. Screenplay or motion picture goes to Conclave. Original score, which I thought this was good, Challengers, Trent Reznor, and Atticus Ross. Musical or TV comedy series was Hacks. And that was up against...
I love that show, too.
Yeah. That goes up against The Bear, Nobody Wants This, Only Murders in the Building, and The Gentleman. A lot of people debate whether or not The Bear is an actual comedy film. I see this every year now. The Golden Globes comes around. There's another conversation about whether The Bear is a comedy or is
like
a drama.
It's like comedic spots, but...
Did you watch the new season of The Bear?
Did.
And what did you think?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it wasn't as good as the other ones, but it was still good.
Have you seen The Bear, Christina? You know, you haven't watched it?
No. You know I'm only watching My Housewives.
They took them away from us for the last few weeks.
Yeah, they took them away from us, Christina.
I messaged Chrissy, and I was like, are you dying too?
Yes. Yeah, they do that sometimes. I appreciate that TLC did not generally take off their shows for the holiday season, which a lot of networks will do because they feel... I don't get this either. It's like everyone's at home. Everyone wants to watch something besides a Christmas fucking movie. Play your brand new episodes during the holiday season. Everyone would love you. Actress in a drama TV series was Anna Sawai for Shogun, which I think was deserved. Yes. Stand-up comedy on television, Ali Wong won that. I was really happy to see her. Do that. Of course, she was up against Nikki Glaser, Adam Sandler, Rami Yosef, Jamie Foxx, and Seth Meyers. Miniseries or TV film was Baby Reindeer.
Oh,
well deserved.
Yeah, I know you. That was a big hit with you.
What a controversy this Baby Reindeer has caused.
So
there's
crazy.
Now lawsuits flying around.
While they were announcing the winner, they mentioned that the commentary on the Gold Globes was kind of weird, but they had somebody say that I guess he was emailed 41,000 times.
He was, yes, emailed 41,000 times. But now this woman has sued Netflix, Josh Gad, is his name? Whatever his name is. She has sued everybody and their mother under the sun related to this show, saying that they used her story, her emails, her stuff to make this television show and portray her in a negative light. She sued them for like $250 million. Pounds or whatever it is. And I gotta say, I think she might have a case here because they really did take all of this stuff that she created, and essentially, even though it was crazy emails, and created a show out of it. One might argue, even though she's clearly has some mental issues, one might argue that she should reap some of the benefits of the success of this because it's not just his story, it's her story too, and she helped create it. I know it's a controversial stand to take, but I wonder if she's got a leg to stand on. Mm-hmm. And actually, the judge believes that there's a leg to stand on because he has allowed the lawsuit to move forward. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. I'll keep you posted. Actress in a miniseries, Jodie Foster, well-deserved.
Oh,
True Detective Night Country was very good.
I think it
was a return to form for True Detective. No True Detective will ever beat the first True Detective.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen. It was a mind-bending television experience.
I might go back and watch that.
I watched it in one night. And I think I watched it with your login to HBO or something. I can't remember. Someone gave it to me.
Yeah.
I watched the entire series of season one in one night from like 11. I was up when the sun came up. I was not drinking. I just was so excited to see that television show. And it was so good. The Penguin was also...
Oh, that is so good. Have you seen that?
I have not seen The Penguin.
Oh, it's so good.
The other miniseries up for a miniseries of TV or film was True Detective Night Country, which again, I thought was really good. Monsters, the Lyle and Eric Menendez story, which I thought was really good. Ripley, which I tried to get into, but I just couldn't.
I did too, a same.
Yeah, I don't know why everyone, I mean, it's well acted, but I just don't know why everyone felt like it was so fascinating, because I didn't. But that's just my opinion. And The Penguin, I guess, which you say is really good. Actress in a musical or comedy series was Jean Smart for Hacks. And of course, Poppy is on Hacks.
Yes.
Actor in a drama series. I'm going to mess up his name. Hiroyuki Sanada or Sanada for Shogun. Yeah, I'm going to mess that up. I'm sorry. I really apologize. Jake Gyllenhaal was also in there for Presumed Innocent. Presumed Innocent was fantastic. Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Donald Glover. Eddie Redmayne for The Day of the Jackal. Gary Oldman, Slow Horses. He's so good in that show.
He's so good. And that's a great show.
Billy Bob Thornton for Landman. Here's why I like Slow Horses. And I don't know if I've talked about this. I think I've mentioned this show before in the past. But here's why I like Slow Horses. Slow Horses on what? Season four now? Or season three or four?
Yeah, I think it was just four.
Okay. You get to know the characters, but it's not overly involved in every little bit of every character. So you feel like you know the characters, but the action keeps moving.
Yeah, it's more about the story.
There's usually six or seven episodes in each season. It moves really quickly. It gets wrapped up relatively nicely with just a little cliffhanger so they can move to the next one, to move to the next season. And it is so fantastically acted by everybody in that show.
Yeah.
Gary Oldman was born to play this part, I think, as the slovenly director of this outfit.
Wicked smart.
Yeah, wicked smart. He's so good in that. Mm-hmm. So good in it. Actor in a miniseries or motion picture for television was Colin Farrell for The Penguin. Male actor in a supporting role. Oh, I'm going to mess this one up too. Another gentleman from Shogun. I'm not even going to try. I don't want to offend anybody. Female actor in a supporting role in television was Jessica Gunning for Baby Reindeer. Actor in a musical or comedy television series was Jeremy Allen White for The Bear. And I believe that's his third time winning that.
Yeah, he didn't even show up.
He didn't show up?
No.
He was filming something else.
Oh,
that's
he
why.
Was? Oh, okay.
Yeah, in New York. And someone talked to him and said, he said, that's why I couldn't go.
Oh, okay.
Like, I had to make something up.
Yeah, so here's like a little bit of...
He's on set. There are photos.
I think other people are probably filming something too, maybe right about now, but whatever.
Well, listen.
Fine.
One would argue that some of these award shows are a big jack-off. Right? So some people would argue that. And there's lots of actors and actresses who have argued that over the years and not shown up to award shows and said, there's so much other shit in the world that's important. Why are we all patting ourselves on the back? We get to do the best thing in the world. We get paid lots of money. Why are we all jacking each other off? I get that argument. I also get that it's nice to be recognized for the things that you do. The Golden Globes, to me, seems to be the funnest of all of them because everyone's sitting around getting schmaltzy.
Yes.
You know,
that's what I thought, too. And it mixes the film with
the television.
Television. Yeah.
And I like that part of it. It's usually much more loosey-goosey than any of the other awards shows. And when most award shows drag on forever and ever and it gets a little bit boring, the Golden Globes seems to, at least most years, keep things popping along very nicely. This year, there was a lot of celebrities, not a lot of controversy, and I thought it was a fine show. It was fine. It's not one that I think I'll particularly remember, but it was good enough to sit around and watch and go, oh, okay. We all watched it. You know, the three of us watched it for a little while, and I thought that it was interesting. But I don't think it's like a – I don't think you should take a – anybody should be offended if you don't show up. I mean, if you don't show up, you don't show up. Hey, I just didn't have time.
Yeah.
There was also this clip going around of one of the directors. I think the director, maybe of The Brutalist, as soon as the other director was announced that he won for Emilia Perez or whatever, he got up and he walked out. One of the other directors that was nominated got up, with his date, walked out, shook hands with some people and left. Somebody posted a video of social media. Somebody posted a video on social media of him doing that and saying, yeah, that's it. You know, you can't even take it. Whatever. There was some kind of snide comment. First of all, I didn't know they allowed people to videotape, like use their phone to do videos inside of the Golden Globes. This guy was obviously in the back of the room taping him, which I thought was kind of rude. Second of all, other people in the comment section, people who had been in the entertainment industry or had been to these award shows, had mentioned, you don't understand how difficult it is to sit through four or five hours of this, the commercial breaks, the constant productions, you know, people running around for the production, the resetting of the stage and all this. He's like, it's actually quite boring when you're at these award shows, and sometimes they don't let you leave your seat, even if you have to use the restroom, because the camera angles might catch it. And I thought to myself, that's a good point. Like, just because there is an award show doesn't mean you necessarily have to show up. And number one. And number two, does that mean you have to stay there the entire time? Like, the guy did his duty. He stayed there so they could get a shot of him while he was being announced as one of the nominees. And then he didn't win. And so I don't think he was being ungracious. I mean, I don't know, but I think he was probably just saying to himself, like, I got to go home. Yeah. I've been here long enough. Mm-hmm. I got to go home. So listen, I mean,
or he might have just had like a surgery and he was in pain or something.
I mean, he might have had hemorrhoids and sitting for a long time caused his ass to hurt, right? Maybe he hadn't gotten his 21 EPMs in this month and he needed to go. Maybe the Viagra was kicking in and he needed to knock it out. Chrissy, we never know. Maybe he's working on his next cinematic masterpiece, Naked Attraction, the movie. You never know.
Was that a fancy way to say Viagra?
Viagra, yes.
Viagra.
I was like, are we just going to blow past that? Hold on.
Okay, I got to tell you this. We'll pull the curtain back a little bit. And I'm not going to talk about me using Viagra, in case you're wondering. Russell Howard is a guest that's coming on the show, very famous British comedian. And I saw a reel of his earlier today where he was talking about getting offered Viagra in Amsterdam. Like, some guy was on the corner yelling, cocaine, get your cocaine here, cocaine. And when him and his friends walked by, he switched to, you need any Viagra? And he said Viagra, and it got stuck in my head. You know, sometimes you can pick up an accent if you stick around people too long. I think I picked up Viagra from Russell Howard. We'll talk to him about it in a couple of days.
You'll
hear about it. Okay, listen, that's all I can do for right now. We're just getting back into the swing of things. Give us one or two to get back on our feet. Okay, there you go. I don't know what else to say. Oh, well, you know, let's tee up a Naked Attraction and watch that.
Yeah.
You want to watch some labias? Let's look at some labias. Why not?
Let's look at it all.
What's that?
Let's look at it all.
Let's look at it all. Yeah, usually an episode includes one sex and then the other, but they have had trans.
Yes, they have.
People on there, it's really quite forward, actually. Uh-huh. I guess there's all kinds of bodies out there,
yes,
you know?
There are.
Yeah. Hey, there you go.
Who knew?
Who knew? Do you remember Adrian Brody? Not Adrian Brody. Do you remember there was a girl who got married to one of the people in the Brady Bunch? She was on that reality television show and she married Peter Brady. She was like a model from Next Top Model. Adrian somebody. Okay.
No, it's not ringing a bell.
I just read, and anyway, they're still married. Like, they got married off of a reality television show, and I thought clearly they did it for publicity.
Yeah.
15 years later, still married, still in love. It was true love. Peter Brady and this beautiful model that's 20 years his junior. I just read this incredibly intense story about how she got her breast implants removed. Oh. And I just mentioned this because I was thinking about The Substance, about how many horror stories are online right now about plastic surgery in general. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Lots of people, there seems like most people have some kind of nightmare story after they get augmentation done.
Well, are you really going to go on there and say, look how great everything went? Maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
I think a lot of the things that go wrong, you would definitely be vocal about.
Yeah, that's true. We know some people have had nightmare stories too.
Yeah.
So there you go. But I say that because I don't think I'm going to get my dick implant. I think I've decided the dick implant is off the table.
Yeah.
Like I said, Just stare in my eyes, Astrid. We'll get through it together. All right, tcbpodcast.com. That's where you find more information about the show, all the audio, all the video, right there from one location. Also, TCB swag, now available. Contact us button on the website. Give us your physical address and we'll send you something. Add the commercial break on the ever-growing Instagram. TCB Podcast on TikTok, now that Dennis O'Leary, that O'Leary guy is going to buy it. YouTube.com/TheCommercialBreak for every episode now on video. Check out the new studio. Subscribe. Follow us, please. All right, Chrissy, that's all I can do for right now.
I think so.
I'll say that I love you.
And I love you.
Best to you.
Best to
and
you.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Chrissy and I will say, we do say, and we must say,
goodbye.